We're going to go to a sideline for a moment. On Sunday, the Holy Spirit told me to have someone anoint me. And out of those words came, "Hold on." Three times. It will be easy. And if I recall the words correctly, it was, "I will pour through you, for you are open." And I began to weep inside. And again it repeated, "It will be easy." It meaning the Holy Ghost. Why does he have to say it's going to be easy? Because it's been tough sometimes. Looking at what other people perceive. Because other people have opinions about us. Some of them are jealous and they don't understand why they're jealous. I can tell you why they're jealous. Our freedom. The peace we have in within us. The gift that we are to each other. The immediate flow of grace and favor that goes on in between this house and these that are in the house. It is something to be jealous about. The freedom from fear, the agitation, the passion, and the moral conflict, all of these things are part of what you and I go through. Verse 3, Amplified. "Praise, honor, blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by his boundless mercies." If you don't have a circle around the word boundless, there's something wrong. Boundless mercies. Why? Because we have a limit in our brain. Oh, how can he love me because I made such a mess out of this? Or I made a mess and he's still dealing with trying to clean it up. Whatever that mess in, there is boundless supply. First of all, with the peace. If I start losing my peace, believe me, I know by now that it's time to really praise him for what's going on. Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be, I give thanks, Lord. I don't understand. I don't have to understand. I don't need this knowledge. I know that you're in control. How did I get there? By choice. Isabel, you got up. You said, "Get out." You didn't have to think about it for 3 months. You didn't have to go to the neighborhood and say, "Hey, wait a minute. Somebody's doing crap against me." You knew it instantly. Why? Because there's a perception within us that says, "No! Darkness is not allowed in my room." I'm not picking on her, by the way.
Oh, that's all right.
"But by his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead." If there was no resurrection, you know something? We would have a hopeless situation as believers. But whenever I bring that up among those that are part-time believers, how many know there are part-time believers? Mm-hmm. They believe when it's convenient. "Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for me." Reserved on the other side of the curtain that separates me and the saints. "Who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith, till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last times." Are we living in the last times?
Yes.
Is our country on the edge?
Yep.
Yes. And you know, when I spoke about Jonathan Cahn, you know, I've read some of his material. I didn't read it all yet, but I did read a great percentage. And I can tell you that if you haven't read some of his material about our country, it might be a wise time to do so. Because it'll give you an insight as to how we are following in Israel's footsteps. And the mistakes they made, many of the believers and the churches are silent, totally asleep. Not willing to teach their people. Not willing to open up. But what I can tell you is, God has chosen this man and many others. He's not the only one. Okay? But many others have given warning to us. And the scripture says, if my people will humble themselves. Mm-hmm. He's not worried about the unbeliever. He's looking at you and me. And in case you forgot, he's looking from within. Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, my perception.
Of myself needs to change.
I need to see how much my Father loves me.
For letting his seed come into me.
It's his seed of his spirit that was in Christ, Jesus himself, imparted to me.
Because of his incredible love for me.
Just as I am. Verse 6, you should be exceedingly glad on this account. Though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. I can't climb a ladder in the middle of my garage and think about where the battery goes. But thank God I have a neighbor that can help me.
Amen.
So that the genuineness of my faith can be tested, which is infinitely more precious than precious or perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of my faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. He's going to be revealed in me, and he's going to be revealed in you, and he's going to be revealed in us corporately. It's taken a while for us to get to be trimmed. And in case you forgot, whenever somebody's taking off and cutting away the excess baggage that we have, it hurts. Because he's cutting off flesh. It's called circumcision by the Spirit. If you look up the word circumcision and you look at how many concepts of circumcision there are, God isn't looking to cut away the natural flesh. He's cutting away the spiritual flesh in you and me. And he is looking to have a circumcised people so that we are holy unto him. And we are by faith, but these trials and these difficulties are allowed by God for us to mature. And he is maturing us. And some of it is unpleasant.
Amen.
Okay? Some of it is difficult. Anybody who says, oh, it's heaven to be worshiping the Lord, and all they do is just, and they think on their, I say, Lord, when are they going to grow up? They will grow up if they submit. They won't grow up if they continue to just go on as they have been. So my prayer is for each of you to mature. That was the intent. When we first formed the corporate structure for this church, I have a buddy that kept bugging me. We won't talk about his name, but he was bugging me. What's the ultimate purpose, he says. We need a logo. He said, no, we don't. We need to mature. And Bob would look and smile at me. You won't let go, right? Nope, I won't let go. There's a lot of baby churches out there. I don't want a baby church. I don't believe God has called me for a baby church. I lived in a baby church. God moved me from one baby church to another baby church. I don't want to go there. I want a church that will do what God says to do in spite of the feelings and emotions. And that was Gino's fault. And he didn't prophesy over me, even though he did at the beginning. But others were used by God. And I've shared some of those things with you. I didn't share them all because, you know what? I get a swelled head. I don't want that because then I have to repent again. I'm not looking for that. What I am looking for is for you not to give up on each other. Look at your neighbor. Don't give up on me. And I won't give up on you. And I'm going to stay on your case until you grow up and mature for God's purpose and the house of prayer. Christ will do the work that God has prepared for all of us. Amen. And amen. That's all I got.